We're pleased to have in studio, and he's with us until for about another 10, 12 minutes, Maryland State Attorney General Douglas Gansler. He is running to be the Democratic nominee for governor. I am coming to your calls in a moment, but I had to ask you, Attorney General, about Maryland Health Connections. And to me, this issue, and I asked Heather Mazur about it, I asked Anthony Brown about it, is one of the biggest issues because it defines leadership. We have close to $300 million at the end of the day, if you include Connecticut, we're going to be spending on this. And what do we have to show for it?
Well, you said it right, nail on the head, which is it defines leadership. Because the reason why it's so important in this particular race for governor is that this is literally the only thing that lieutenant governors ever managed and ever led in his career, and certainly as lieutenant governor, and as by all accounts was a national embarrassment and a debacle. And there's a number of issues, and you mentioned one, which is the money. So it's over $200 million of taxpayer money basically flushed down the toilet. You know, there were all the people that were enrolled were automatic Medicaid transfers, right, which had nothing to do with him. And he knew a year ahead it wasn't going to work, and then lied to everybody, didn't tell them. And then they had to do these things called, where people had to come to centers and take the day off from work, get their car towed, and then they were just funneled into CareFirst. So about 67,000 people that were ultimately signed up, not from the money, the website, because they showed up to get signed up, and that was all went right. It was a collusion with CareFirst and went right to them. And so we have hundreds of thousands of Marylanders without health care. And, I'm a big fan of the president. I ran President Obama's campaign in Maryland along with Elijah Cummings. I went to the Supreme Court and made sure that Maryland was the lead state in the amicus brief there to make sure that it was upheld constitutionality. And I do believe that the United States should not have been the only civilized country in the world without understanding that health care is a right for all citizens. But Brown's leadership on that was an unmitigated disaster. And then he hid. Then he wouldn't turn over his emails. He wouldn't show up at any hearings. They won't tell us what happened with that money.
We were told from a state auditor when he was testifying in Annapolis that the reason the reports were so redacted is because your office, the Attorney General's office, redacted that information that would have shown us almost who did what.
Which is, of course, patently absurd. We don't have the ability to do that. He claims something called executive privilege, which he makes the decision whether to assert that or not. And so we're just the lawyers. So and so there was that. And then the problem was, of course, people not getting health care. People can't get chemotherapy for their children. People can't get access to health care that need it. And then the money. And then they went into a closed room to make the decision in the first place. So that's how they got this company from Fargo, North Dakota. It's real. Believe it or not. It's amazing. And no transparency, no competition. And then, to chase good money after bad, to do the exact same thing and go into a closed room without that and say, we're going to adopt Connecticut's system, pay another $40, $50 million to take their system when the people in Connecticut say it's not going to work in November. You can't do that. I've been calling for a transfer to the federal system, not the federal website, which would put you into the Maryland Exchange. They could do it tomorrow and they'll do it for free. And it works. They had problems at the beginning, but they fixed them, and people were signing up at a clip of 50,000 people a day. And so it's amazing to me that they won't do it. We have one guy running for president, one guy running for governor, so they're putting their ambition over the people of Maryland. It's very sad.
Let's get a call in. Let's get Amber in here. She wants to talk about the corporate tax rate. Good morning, Amber.
Hi. I was just curious as to why Doug wants to lower the corporate tax rate and how he wants to pay for it.
So what I actually want to do, and you must be getting the lieutenant governor's mail, which is pretty silly. He says it costs $1.6 billion. It's not like I own a company. I put my ATM card in there. It says 0.00 available balance. So, but the reality is we need to bring jobs back to Maryland. And if we don't, I was the first person to call for an increase in the minimum wage. I think it's the right thing to do. But it's irrelevant if we don't have jobs to pay people the minimum wage. So the way you pay for this is by lowering the corporate rate from 8.25%, making us competitive with our neighboring states, for example, Virginia, by 0.25% each year. You're bringing in more jobs. You're increasing the tax base. You actually make money. At the same time, we do need to close the corporate loophole regarding multinational companies called combined reporting. And that would bring in $200 million from the McDonald's of the world that are doing business in our state but aren't paying taxes on it.
Let's get Simon in Baltimore in here. Simon, you're on board with Doug Gansler and me.
I see four in Mr. Gansler. A couple of things, and then I'll state them and then get off the air so I can hear them. First, the prison gate in the city, Grey Goose, of course, now that the election's coming, you don't hear about it. Number two, I personally feel that you should get the state police in Baltimore City to help out the city police to help reduce the crime problem in certain areas. And then also your feelings on the infrastructure and BWI, the airport. And I wish you luck, and I'll be voting. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, thank you, Simon.
Things there. You got that list?
Yeah, the operative part is you didn't say, Bob, I'll be voting for you. So I do ask for your vote, Simon. But no, look, on the prison gate, yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, if it weren't true, you wouldn't believe it, that they could run gangs out of a prison, that, you know, correctional guards were getting impregnated. Two of them had the guy's name tattooed on them. And that's just a lack of leadership. And then again, just a little bit like the Affordable Care Act, a lack of taking responsibility. I called for an independent look investigation into what happened there. Bipartisan, because you can't fix it if you don't know what happened.
And you compared it almost to the Steve Sachs type of independent commission that looked into the Maryland State Police.
Absolutely. You get somebody who knows what they're doing, find out who knew what went wrong, and there's been no accountability and there's been no changes. Their idea was, well, let's build a new prison. Well, that may or may not be a good idea, but it shouldn't be done as a result of mismanagement. So that's one issue, and I think there's a lot of the criminal issues that we have in Maryland are a result of a lack of leadership. On the state police working with the local police, you know, that's not certainly we should do that in the sense that I do believe local, state, and federal officers can and should work closely together. We had, remember the Beltway snipers. That was what happened when I was the state's attorney. I ran the Joint Sniper Task Force. We had 1,400 law enforcement officers, local, state, and federal, working together seamlessly as if they were in the same uniform to bring John Muhammad and Lee Boy Malvo to justice quickly. And I think we can do that a better job of that in Baltimore City. And your third question was about, I think, BWI and infrastructure. Yes, one of the great things that we have in Maryland is the BWI airport and, by the way, the port. And both, you know, the Port of Baltimore is underutilized. We're one of two ports in the country that can take the deep ships that can come through the Panama Canal. And BW Airport, we should be able to leverage for more international trade. We're not in Idaho. We actually are on the ocean. And we should enhance our trade and bring in more jobs that way here in Maryland as well.
Real quick, I'm coming to the calls. I want to stay on infrastructure because, as you know, this administration, O'Malley Brown, have cut the highway user revenue to local jurisdictions. And I understand that yourself and other candidates are weighing in on that. Should these locals begin to get that money that's been cut from them by the state?
The answer is yes. And the problem, of course, is when the economic vitality of the Brown-O'Malley administration, as exhibited by the last 8 years, is more taxes, more casino gambling. I actually want to bring jobs here. We're 46th in the country manufacturing. Can you imagine what would happen if we were actually producing things here in Maryland? So what they had to do was rob the local jurisdictions of their money. They said they would give it back, and they didn't. And they also violated the trust of the people of Maryland. We have transportation issues. Another thing that's happened while Brown and O'Malley have been there for the last 8 years is we now have the most congested area and traffic in the country. And this is something – they took the money from something called the Transportation Trust Fund. That is, this is going to be held in trust for transportation and used it for other projects. And then what they said is, oh my God, we don't have any money in the Transportation Trust Fund. Let's lay another regressive tax on the people of Maryland and hike up the gas tax on them so people can pay more in gas tax. So I think that's a problem, and we need to, I think we should have mass transit, which would be high-speed rail from Baltimore to D.C. I think that's the biggest thing that we could do to bring people back into the city, to make Baltimore a cool city again. If they can go back and forth 12, 15, 18 minutes, depending on what kind of high-speed rail you get. That's the kind of project that we should be able to see in a Gansler or Ivey administration.
Let's get a final question. Let's get John in Annapolis. John, you're on with Attorney General Doug Gansler and me.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I saw an email from your campaign attorney general about a poll, and I was wondering, why haven't you released that?
Why haven't we released our poll?
Yes.
We've done it before, and the papers seem to like their polls, even though, I mean, you know, it was interesting. Today's Post, Washington Post, had as a front page of the Metro section about Brown being ahead by 23 points, but on the front page of their whole paper, they talked about the Eric Cantor loss, where the Post itself said 10 days ago The Cantor was up by 34 points, then they lost by 12. You know, we have it. We want, you know, it's fine to release it. We are really been focusing. One of the things we have is we have volunteers around the state. We have people that really believe in the need for a change, that the status quo, the establishment, the machine should not coronate the next governor, that the people of Maryland should actually pick the next governor. And it should be based on that person's record and their vision, not dirty politics in the campaign that the lieutenant governor's run. Lieutenant governor, when he gets people to come to forums or wave at street signs or knock on doors, has to pay them. And so we have volunteers going to doors to actual voters that we think are going to vote. So we're very confident that our poll is accurate. We have, you know, we're happy to release it. You know, but I don't think that the media will print it. They're going to print their own polls, whether or not they're valid or not.
Doug Gansler, thank you so much for coming in the studio. And hopefully between now and Election Day, we can. I'm just worried about turnout. I'm worried about a very, very low turnout that it might help certain candidates, but I don't think it helps our process.
No, it's actually a sad commentary on democracy.
Doug Gansler, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.